It's time for Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more irrelevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that.
Byrie Irving.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI. That, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward.
I'm going to call him Brad Farrell because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
And I think one man.
Exactly.
So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Byrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Since joining the Red Sox, Alex Cora has been one of the many people who we work with that has consistently put the organization ahead of their own interests.
Wrong. It was ultimately an easy decision for the Red Sox and for Alex. It was a mutual decision.
You're fired!
Did you consider the alternative of just waiting until MLB's Red Sox investigation before deciding on Alex?
We did consider, we're not going to speculate on what would have happened if we had not acted.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Oh, well, well, well. Oh, what a Thursday night, folks. This is Mark After Dark on WEEI. You're already calling in. I can see the lines line up right now. I will get to you after my opening epic monologue. Here's what's happened over the course of the last 24 hours. There's some account out there that initially claimed to be Carlos Beltran's niece. It is not. But it gets better. There's a lot of interesting information due to this Twitter account saying that, quote, "I'm told to stay quiet, but I refuse. Sorry, T-O-T-I-O. Love Jose Altuve and Bregman." Oh, no, it says love. "Jose Altuve and Bregman wore devices that buzzed on inside right shoulder from hallway video guy. Let's get it all out now." Then the account SO_blessed1, that's the number one, said, "I have pictures from locker I will keep for rainy day. Altuve didn't want shirt torn off. If I remember, maybe I misspoke, but Chapman gave up home run in game." And the sound, it's tough to really see, but if you watch this, you can clearly see Jose Altuve putting his jersey. So, like, the guys don't, he's like, "Don't do it. Don't do it." Because it's just like a rat wearing a wire in Goodfellas or any other movie that you've seen where they're wearing a wire. You know? How about the movie Wolf of Wall Street? When Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Jordan Belfort, goes into Jonah Hill's office, and he puts down on a post-it note, "I'm wearing a wire." He writes it down so he doesn't say anything incriminating about him. So prior to this, the Mets decided to wash their hands of Carlos Beltran. Now, here's the sound after Jose Altuve hit the home run in the ALCS.
Too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
Jose, your team defensively played an amazing game.
So there it was. Yeah, sure, that's all it was. Yeah, I'm sure your wife would be so jealous that if they tore your shirt off, that she would just be insane with jealousy. Oh, I'm sure that's it. So the Mets fire Beltran, and now the Mets are looking for a new manager, along with the Astros and your Boston Red Sox. And there's this sentiment going out there right now. Lou Maloney talked about it today. on OMF and him and Christian saying they have some sources. Hopefully it's better sources from the Zdeno Chara being Dunsky, that Alex Cora is allegedly not guilty after all. Folks, if you believe that, I've got swampland in Nebraska to sell you. Just hit me up on Twitter. My handle's Mark James, M-A-R-C James. Seriously. I'm only going to sell it for $100 per square foot. Swampland in Nebraska. Yeah, you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. But this doesn't change the thing that something that we've all known where it comes to this title is tainted. And in my opinion, Mookie Betts MVP is also tainted. Going from a 346 average in 2018 to a 295 average in 2019. It's a 51-point drop in batting average. I mean, you're telling me that that didn't have anything to do whatsoever, nothing, with Mookie's MVP award, getting the information. And now we're seeing, according to this, that how intricate of a scheme that it was, that how active the players were involved. Josh Reddick, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman. So Cora just brought the cheating from Houston to Boston. That's all he did. You know it and I know it. But if there's ever anything that you can ever look at for me, go back and look. And if we can find, you know, Ben Charleston's still around. Ben, I know you're off the clock, Ben. Can you find me, Ben, the splits of the home and away for Mookie Betts in 2018? That's all I need. His splits in 2018 and home and away on the air doing a show. And I'm trying to find it at my disposal. And when you find it, please let us know. Because I want to see if there's a huge disparity between the home games at Fenway and the away games in 2018, if there was a distinct advantage and sort of shot in the arm, so to speak, in a nice little bloated statistics when the Red Sox were playing at Fenway that year for Mookie. I'm interested in that because we all know what happened between 2018 and 2019. So the one thing I will tell you is that here's why I don't believe that Alex Cora at all is even remotely innocent in this. And it comes down to this. He did it with the Astros in 2017. He allegedly did it with the Red Sox in 2018. The Red Sox have already taken the prudent steps in terms of firing him, even though they want to paint it as a mutual parting of ways. So do you really think that three teams, the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Mets, would all fire their managers if there wasn't a lot of fire to the smoke that's going on here? And Alex Cora, I'm sorry. Whatever people are going out there and saying that, oh, no, nothing's going to happen to the Red Sox. Well, listen, I'll tell you this. The reports are out there that Major League Baseball wasn't going to do anything to the Astros or Red Sox until Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal wrote this for The Athletic. Okay? So all that being said, everything, yeah. And if the Red Sox skate on this, well, to me, maybe they struck some sort of deal with Major League Baseball. And Alex Cora will be the guy who obviously has taken the fall and will take the brunt of the punishment on the verdict. Okay? So that, to me, is the big thing here. Let's not, Major League Baseball was going to do something internally. They were going to do something that was just going to be kind of like, we're not going to really do anything. Ben Charleston, you're a scholar and a gentleman and a total mensch. Okay. All right. So here's Mookie's. He had a great year no matter what. He had a better year at home. 364 average to a 331 average on the road. Still great. He had more home runs on the road, and the RBIs are comparable. So, yeah, the batting average was 33 points higher, but maybe that is just the getting used to the friendly confines of Fenway and him knowing this park and just, you know, getting used to it and knowing. I mean, it's not as big as I thought it would be, like it is from 2018 to 2019, okay? 2018 to 2019, nobody can sit here and tell me that when you have a 51-point drop-off, 51 points, folks, 51, that to me, that's Brady Anderson-esque circa 1996 with the Baltimore Orioles. That's how bad that is. But the amazing thing in all of this, what it comes down to, is that the Red Sox and Major League Baseball, who have not been able to even get arrested with an AK, a loaded AK-47 walking through airport security at LAX, LaGuardia, or Logan, this is all people want to talk about now. This is the most interesting thing for baseball. And you know what? I actually want to thank the Astros, Red Sox, but more likely I actually want to thank Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal. You know why? Because just for 1 week and 1 week only, and I'm sure it'll be back to business as usual come Monday, for 1 week, we're not talking about the future of Tom Brady. Just for 1 week. It's sort of a nice little reprieve from, uh-oh, where will Brady go? What's Brady going to do? You know, and the new, obviously the newest news this week was the fact that Josh McDaniels didn't get any of the jobs, apparently did not want to, also didn't want to come to an agreement in Cleveland due to the fact that there's some BS thing that the coach has to send his game plan to the analytics department in Cleveland and they have to take a look at it and they will edit it before Sunday, which I don't blame Josh McDaniels to not want anything to do with that. Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, thank you. So good luck there to Kevin Stefanski. I'm sure you'll be really successful, but at least just for a little while, just for a little bit, we're not talking TB12. Like just for a little, like just for 1 week, people actually have shown that they care about the Red Sox again, or at least they care about this scandal. But the amazing thing to me, I want to sort of, you know, ascertain from the audience is that does this scandal, has it skewed your opinion on this franchise? Do you feel differently now about the Red Sox? I'm sure you feel, and having talked to enough people, you feel that the 2018 World Series championship is a tainted title. You all pretty much feel that way, that it is tainted. But does it sort of change your opinion on a franchise that continues to show that they are tone deaf, delusional, with an unapologetic, egregious lack of self-awareness? Your Boston Red Sox. Never more evident than yesterday's press conference when the exact question about the 2018 World Series title was asked to Tom Werner.
And lastly, since that sort of behavior, something similar is being investigated about your most recent championship team. Do you worry at all that the findings could, in some people's mind, attach an asterisk to that Red Sox championship?
Well, I just want to reiterate what we said, which is that we ask our fans to reserve judgment until the investigation is completed.
That was the common theme yesterday. Reserve judgment until MLB's investigation is completed. Again, we can't talk about the investigation. It's an MLB directive. So that was their sort of lifeline yesterday. But that press conference, and the guy who used to be big in the White House, Ari Fleischer, I believe his name is, who is a PR spin master. If Ari Fleischer was teaching a class anywhere in how to handle a PR disaster, an unmitigated nightmare, he would put in the tape of the 45-plus minutes yesterday at Fenway Park and show, if you run a, own a company, or if you run a company, this is what you do not do. And he would put in that press conference. And to me, he'd specifically look at corporate Kennedy, Sam Kennedy, the guy who kept drinking his water, his bottle of water, every time somebody answered a question, looking guilty as sin. But you know what? I don't know if this changes the perception of the Red Sox, because I think a lot of people, even though they've won four World Series, three legitimately, over the course of the last 15 years, I think most people, and I've asked this question too, is that how come back in March, when the Robert Kraft stuff came out at Orchids of Asia Day Spa, everybody here in New England galvanized, circled the wagons, and got Robert Kraft's back. Everybody, for the most part, except, of course, that complete, total fish rag, the Globe. The Globe, like, wanted Robert Kraft to you know, I mean, they basically wanted him to get the treatment that Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer got. That's what the Globe wanted for Robert Kraft. But everybody other than the Globe stood behind Kraft, knew it was embarrassing and shameful, but why don't the Red Sox get that same treatment when it comes to something like this? Why don't they? I mean, still even a couple weeks ago. We don't have to go back to a few weeks ago. Patriots go down to Cleveland. They're in the press box scouting, doing a thing on their advanced scout and happen to be taping the Bengals sidelines. You remember the firestorm that ensued thereafter? Do you remember that? So would the Patriots do something wrong? And they've done a lot of wrong things. Deflategate, Spygate, Orchids of Asia, Day Spa Gate. I was trying to think of a nice politically correct way to say it. There's no other way I can say it nicely than that. We are on after 10 o'clock, so I can probably get away with it. I wanted to keep it somewhat PG-ish. Everybody rallies the troops here in New England. You all get the Patriots' backs. And when the Red Sox do something, people, they've got their bows, arrows, and their 9 double M's, and they fully loaded clips, and they are ready to just draw blood. It is amazing. But therein lies the fact that the Patriots are it. The Patriots are the it team in the it town. And they are the ones that will always be now the front page headline stealers, unless, of course, you have the Red Sox in this situation. But here's the thing that, and this is why I think Rosenthal and Drellick aren't done yet. I think Rosenthal and Drellick are going to be the modern day Woodward and Bernstein on this particular case. Look what they've done in 1 week. They've cost the jobs of three managers, two teams that have won World Series in back-to-back years, and another team who hired one of the guys that was on the team in 2017 in Carlos Beltran. The Astros, the Red Sox, and the Mets now are all looking for managers because of Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal. And that is, to me, that is like Pulitzer Prize stuff. That is like next level Woodward and Bernstein Watergate type discovery journalism. Kudos to them. And here's the thing, folks. I can tell you this for a fact. They're not done yet. No, they've only just begun. So now we're going to find out. What did John Henry know? When did he know it? What did Tom Werner know? When did he know it? What did Sam Corporate Kennedy know? And when did he know it? Now, you know, here's the one thing. John Henry and Tom Werner, they're pretty much untouchable. I mean, they're the co-owners. They're the stewards of the Red Sox. But we're going to find out. Did Sam Kennedy know that this was going on with his team throughout the 2018 season? Is there proof of that? And I ask you, do you think, I don't know, I'm asking you the question. I'm just asking the question. Do you think Sam Kennedy knew anything was going on about this cheating scandal during the 2018 season? Do you think he knew? I don't know. I don't know. If James Gandolfini, a.k.a. Tony Soprano, was still alive, or if Suge Knight was out of prison and either one of them held a gun in my head, do you think Roger Goodell knew about the Ray Rice thing before TMZ and Harvey Levin broke it after the opening week in 2014? You damn right they did. He did. You damn right he did. And they got proof to find. Now, I don't know that Sam Kennedy knew anything, but if I was a betting man, which I am, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. If I had to bet one way or another, and they said, you got to take one or the other, I would bet that he knew something. I don't know if he knew how intricate and premeditated and methodical and calculated of a cheating scandal that this was, but I would bet he might have known something. And like I said, that's not based on any sort. It's just my inclination and gut instinct. What about yours? 617-779-7937. And why don't the Red Sox get the unequivocal, unconditional support the way the Patriots do when something goes wrong in Foxborough? Why don't the Red Sox get that same support here in Boston? Is it something? Because I know the reason why. And it's quite obvious, but we can talk about it coming up next because I have my theory on this. It's not a theory. It's pretty much accurate because I talk to enough people, whether it's here on the show, out in the streets or at games or whatever. And I think we all kind of know, but we can say it. That's coming up next as well. But now it's time for trending.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
What is the level of embarrassment right now having to have this type of a press conference only 1 month before pitchers and catchers show up?
Well, it's not ideal. It's not what we would like to be doing at this point, but we were all surprised to read this report on Monday. But this is, I don't know if you would call it a logical conclusion, but this is where we are as a result of that.
You know what I wonder? I wonder how much baseball wants this to get out, because this has already become a huge embarrassment. Imagine having your biggest showcase. Imagine if the NFL found out that two of the last three Super Bowls that teams were illegally, electronically taping the other, using cell phones, using some sort of hidden cell phone on the sideline, texting. Think about that. So how much does baseball want? I don't know. But I can tell you this, and if you're baseball, you want this, because right now, especially here up in Boston and throughout New England, we're not talking about the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game or what woulda, coulda, or should have been for the Patriots. We're not talking about it. We're talking about, different things. We're talking about the Red Sox being mired in a cheating scandal. And I have to tell you, over the course of the last 3 months, I don't remember how much interest that I've had in the Red Sox in the offseason, because it's been a lackluster, anticlimactic, nothing happening offseason until this. Yeah. So that's, to me, that's something that I'm looking at and I'm saying to myself, Now, I'm sure the Red Sox want this story to go away, but it's not going away anytime soon. And if baseball, if they don't get any big punishment, you know, to me, it doesn't change the fact that they cheated. It's a tainted title, period. And nothing will change for me whatsoever unless baseball comes out and says, you know what? The Red Sox were completely exonerate, and then they didn't do anything. Well, if they're exonerated and absolved from any and all wrongdoing, then why did you fire Alex Cora? Why did you force him to resign or mutually part ways? Because, I mean, you weren't, I'm sure the Red Sox must have known something when they hired Alex Cora. They had to have known something, right? Now, the Mets, on the other hand, apparently according to a report, the Mets didn't ask Carlos Beltran anything about stealing signs. Not one thing. Can you imagine? Imagine hiring someone who's coming from that type of environment and not asking him anything about it before you hired him to be your next manager. I mean, you talk about just stupid. I mean, my God. You got to be kidding me. But I've asked this question, and I want to answer it now for you and get your thoughts on this at 617-779-7937. Why don't the sports fans here in New England, you don't, for whatever reason, give the Red Sox the benefit of the doubt that you do the Patriots, even when the Patriots are dead to right that they've done something? Whether getting caught against the Jets in the first game of 07 or, you know, whatever. There's this, it's amazing. There's this communal civic pride when it comes to the Patriots. But when it's the Red Sox, you're like, yep, that, yeah, I can't stand this ownership. I can't stand them. They're a bunch of frauds. And you know what? That's what it comes down to. Robert Kraft is a man of the people. He is viewed upon as a man of the people. And John Henry and Red Sox ownership are not viewed in the same token whatsoever. They're not. So therein lies the difference, that people will always, without anything, with the Patriots here, it's ride or die. With the Red Sox, it's like, oh, yeah, they messed up. I mean, I got a text a little while ago saying, quote, the ownership of the Boston Red Sox sickens me. I feel like they're always talking about the next Harry Potter book. No tight running, my Sox guy. Right? Okay. But that sort of is the overwhelming theme when it comes to the Red Sox and the Patriots in this town. And that's why the Patriots will always, always sort of get that benefit of the doubt. No matter what they're being accused of, people here will always have the Pats' backs. They always will. Deflategate. The Spygate in 2007. The fake Spygate that John Tomasi reported the Patriots walk through. That some people in this world, before the night they beat the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, that some people in this world still believe. They still believe that that actually happened. Thank you, John Tomasi. You're like a, that story is like an STD that you can never get rid of. Just when you think you've suppressed it and gotten rid of it, uh-oh. You know what? I'm starting to feel a little itch down there. Uh-oh. It's the people. They think it's Spygate. Greatest show on turf was real. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, there's a part of me, and I feel for John Tomasi because he was wrong. But it's like I also can understand Patriot fans being so pissed off because you're the reason why people still think the Patriots spied on the Rams. Not the L.A. Rams and Jared Goff. The St. Louis Rams with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holt. That. But it's amazing. And therein, and if you're Red Sox management who are PR people and you're listening to me right now, because I know a lot of you do, I want you to listen to the show. Because just like Scott Hall, I'm taking a survey. And my survey is, why do people not give the Sox the benefit of the doubt the way they do the Patriots? And I want you to listen to your fan base tonight for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes until 1 a.m. Because they're going to tell you the major difference between the Red Sox and the Patriots and why the Patriots could basically, Bill Belichick could go to the 50-yard line, Tom Brady, drop Trout, take a dump at midfield on the Patriot logo, and everybody in New England would be like, yeah, let's go. But I can tell you what it is. You know what it is? The Patriots are likable. They're likable. And people love them. People identify with them. The Red Sox, and I don't know if it's ownership, and I don't know if it's because you have that D-bag David Price, who has picked fights with Dennis Eckersley twice over the course of the last 3 years. I don't know, Dustin Pedroia being that little pissant that he is. The Red Sox, just people here find them unlikable. They just do. The wash, rinse, or win, dance, repeat crap. I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, Dustin Pedroia telling the Orioles and Manny Machado, it's not me, it's them. The Red Sox throwing their own fans underneath the bus after the uncorroborated Adam Jones allegations that happened in the bleachers a couple years ago. I don't know what it is, but like I said, this team has always been mired in chaos and controversy, and now you can throw corruption in there. To the phones, we go. 617-779-7937. Difference between the Red Sox and Patriots when it comes to fan support, Chuck in Wakefield.
Well, you got a point. Listen, I got to go. I got somebody coming through my window. I'm kidding. I'm just joking around. Yeah. You have a nice evening.
Chuck, what did you call my show for?
Because I could.
Okay, so what do you have to add to the show?
No, I just did, but you don't agree. So God.
No. What you were about to say? The difference between the Red Sox and Patriots? Tell me.
Say that again. What was the question?
Chuck, you're a moron. You're a complete idiot. Do yourself a favor and my audience and go play in traffic, because society wouldn't miss you. You are a complete moron. Honestly, don't ever call this show again. Put Chuck from Wakefield on the ban list. Oh, you complete. And he will make on the mark, off the mark at the end of the show. Oh, you complete dumbass. Honestly, when we have the smartest fans in the world and then some idiot like you calls in, you give us a bad name. You really do. Steve in New Hampshire. I know it can only go up after that call.
Hey, I hope so. I don't know if anybody's brought this up or read about it. I just thought it was kind of ironic if you really think about, not only did management hire Cora, bring him in, we win a series, whatever, but Cora helped Mookie win an MVP in 2018 to the point where they've priced out your best player. That he's going to free agency partially because of the MVP and knows he can get paid.
Yep.
He was a great player, but they hired the guy that's assisting to get him out of town.
Right.
I don't know if anybody else has brought it up, but it's just moronic. And as far as the Pats and the Sox go, I don't go to Pats games. I sit on my couch and watch it horizontally. But I can tell you, going down to Fenway and being self-employed and dropping $600 to bring my family of four down, and then over the last couple years, they set the time clock. My kids used to go down patiently behind the dugout with a ball. They didn't scream and yell. They just stand there with the ball, hoping somebody would give them time to sign. And the last couple of years, they start the pitch clock, the two-minute clock, counts down, overcomes all the ushers, and then they throw the kids out from behind the dugout now so the players don't get bothered by the fans. It is not friendly.
Whoa, back that up again. So what do you mean? Say that again.
So if you send your kid down to the dugout, the backside of the Sox dugout, home dugout, down at Fenway, right?
Yep,
back in the day when Lucchino was there, I swear it was either they all got together, or Lucchino demanded that an off-day pitcher or somebody went out and stood on the dugout steps and signed baseballs for kids. And in the last 2 years, starting in 2016, actually, they count down. Somebody hits a button in the dugout. The clock out in center field starts to count down from 2 minutes, and as soon as it hits 10 or 12 seconds, overcome the ushers, and if those aren't your seats behind the dugout, they throw the kids out of there so they don't get bothered by the players don't get bothered. They're just pompous jackasses, to be honest with you. I'm a huge fan of baseball in itself, let alone a Sox fan. And they just, the game sucks now. It's so slow. Not to mention with the fact that it's slowing down because of the cheating. And I think that's why they went after it the way they did. They know they bundled the steroid era, and now they've got to get this right, and they're losing viewership because of it. And one other thing to think of is, as millennials get older, they're unplugging from cable. And I can't wait to see the day that the cable money isn't there for players to make $32 million for a start and pitch every 5 days.
Yep. And you know what, too, Steve? You're right. They are cutting the cord. They're completely cutting the cord. You can see it. I could tell you. I worked at the place of the Red Sox Network. Their ratings have gone down after the World Series. They took a huge dive last year on NESN. Huge dive. Huge dive.
Is that because they're unlikable, or is it because people are just, you know, kids are cutting the cord, kids aren't into the game? I don't know either way. But, I mean, I just think over the next bargaining contract, I don't think it's going to be. Remember when they jumped on NASCAR, and I'm not comparing the two sports, but remember when people tried to hitch their wagon to the NASCAR bandwagon, or even the NHL bandwagon, right? And they found out, hey, viewership isn't here. There's no money in this for us. There's no advertising dollars. Yeah, no, we're good. And now you've got to search. If you want to watch a hockey game other than the Bruins game, you got to search all over the place. And, I mean, NASCAR, I don't think anybody watches that anymore, do they? So I think that Major League Baseball is smart enough to recognize they've got to nip this. They've got to stop the slow play. The slow play was – did you read the article about the kid from the Dodgers, the only one that beat the Astros in 2017 in the playoffs, went 5 2/3? They were changing their signs every 8 pitches, and he's the only one that beat them in the playoffs.
I did see – what was his name?
Wood.
Oh, yeah, Alex Wood. Yes, yeah, I did see that. Alex Wood, that's correct. Hey, if you want further proof of Mookie Betts' MVP being tainted, you know, I was talking about, like, the drop, the 51-point drop. How about this one? And I haven't heard anyone brought this up either. He batted .346 in the regular season. Do you know what he batted in the postseason? .227. That's a 120-point drop. And that isn't from season to season. This is from the beginning of October to the end of October. He dropped 120 points. And I remember how bad he was in the postseason. I totally remember. But that, to me, is just another indication of there was a lot of cheating going on. And Mookie Betts was a huge benefactor of that in 2018. Oh, yeah, their ratings took a dip last year on NESN. Took a huge dip. Major. And I think there'll be an initial interest in the team this year, but if they got off to another 5-12 start like they did last year, everybody be like, Celts playoffs, Bruins playoffs, let's go. Let's go. Patriots draft, let's go. That's it. It will just be nothing but apathy. And you don't want that in this town. You don't want, like, you know, now it actually shows that some people are interested. They are interested. It's not for a good reason, but you know what they say? There's no such thing as bad publicity. So continue to take your calls on that. The Celtics lost tonight. They are reeling. And Danny Ainge better make a deal sooner than later. Bruins won again tonight, but they continue to show why they are still nowhere near close to getting Lord Stanley Cup. It's the same movie all over again. It's a rerun of last year. All that. 617-779-7937. Mark James getting your calls next right here on EI.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, 617-779-7937. The Celtics, they got smacked tonight, big time, to the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the NBA again. And the Celtics, Danny Ainge needs to make a major trade. Otherwise, this team's going to be toast. That's it. They're going to be toast. Okay. So, I mean, there's no way this team is making it to the NBA Finals. There's no way this team is going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't even know if they're going to make it out of the second round or to the second round. That's how bad they look tonight. They just don't. This team's got to make a move. They got to trade Gordon Hayward and do something. And they got to get, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns, Andre Drummond, they've got to do something. I don't know what it is. One of the things I also wanted to get to as well, and I think yesterday's Dog and Pony Show press conference sort of illustrated the difference between the Red Sox and Patriots. Because you know what the Red Sox stewards and ownership did yesterday? They insulted the intelligence of all of New England sports fans yesterday with that 45-minute press conference. That's exactly what they did. They thought we are all stupid. Oh, we mutually parted ways. Oh, we can't talk about an ongoing investigation. You know, and I think that one thing about Robert Kraft, he might have made some moves like cutting Antonio Brown and some things he's done that as people have thought was stupid that have compromised the success and integrity of this team this season. But man, you got to be kidding me, right? You've got to be kidding me that you're going to pull some bleep like this and you're going to come out yesterday with that total joke of a press conference and make everybody believe your BS. And that, to me, is the ultimate indictment of this fan base. Excuse me, not this fan base, of this ownership towards the fan base. That's what they think of you. They're just going to get up there and they're going to be a bunch of empty corporate suits and they're going to lie to your faces and they're going to make you think that, oh, just reserve judgment until you... Why? Why do we have to reserve judgment? You got rid of Alex Cora. You obviously thought something was wrong. Like, okay, it's one thing about Alex Cora and what he did in Houston. It's another thing when he brought it to Boston. That's a whole nother thing. You know? And I think yesterday was a major insult to a lot of fans here. That wink game with, oh, we mutually parted. No, you didn't. You got fired. That's lie number one. Did he sign a non-disclosure agreement? No, he didn't. That's lie number two. And then the constant humming and hawing and doing all the, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You're not in Birmingham. These aren't dumb redneck sports fans here in New England. Professional sports, it's in our DNA. That's why we've had four teams here forever. I mean, people here know, like, the pro sports capital of the world is Boston, Massachusetts. So people here know what's up. You can't pull the crap that you pull with other fans around the country because people here aren't going to buy it. But yesterday, major, major insult to all of your intelligence and the media as well, and my intelligence. Oh, we mutually parted ways. Oh, okay. Sure you did. Alex Cora just woke up out of bed one day and said, I no longer want to be. I've worked my whole career to get to this point. I'm the manager of a major league team. I led them to the World Series. I just don't want to do it anymore. After two seasons. No, I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to move on. Come on, dude. Seriously. I mean, if you're going to lie, you know, Ben Affleck said in the movie The Town, if you're going to be slicker than a six-year-old. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Charles, up next in a truck. What's up, Charles?
All right, let me take you off speaker.
Oh, thank you for that.
All right, so basically, the way I see it is, we're not naive to the truth.
Number one, Charles, turn your radio down. You're hearing me twice.
Yeah, I shut it off. Yeah, I shut it off.
Okay.
I'm learning.
All right.
So we're not naive to the ways of professional sports owners. It's all part of the game. We buy into it because we buy the tickets every day, every year. We want our teams to win, and we're really kind of ambivalent about how they win as long as they win. And so, I sadly to say, call me a fan of the night, but I'm excited about the fact that the Patriots, the Red Sox, they stretch the envelope and win.
Okay, but Charles, did you watch any of the press conference or hear any of it yesterday?
Well, only what I've heard on the radio because I have a busy life. So
okay,
no,
okay.
I didn't see it.
If you had seen it, you'd have been disgusted, and you would have said, you know what, screw this team. Because it was a complete, total, like they literally thought that we're all stupid. That's why.
No, I disagree, Mark, because what they've done, based on what I've seen as the playbacks from all of the sports radios that I listen to, is what they've done is they've executed plausible deniability, which we learned back in the Reagan era was an acceptable path of public disclosure. And, you know, what can you say? We want our teams to win. We don't care. In the truth of it.
Charles, if they get popped like the Astros did, losing two consecutive first and second round draft picks, you're going to care.
For a year or two. And then it's on to the next one. I'm sorry, brother, but let's win. Just win, baby. I think
Al Davis said that. Yes. Yes. But if you're the Red Sox, you should ask yourselves this question. Why is there this unconditional love and support for the Patriots, and people deify the Patriots, and they vilify us? Why is that? 617-779-7937. Back. Quick timeout. Your calls on the other side right here on Mark After Dark, WEEI.